Ladies and gentlemen, you are aware that yesterday evening at some hour, I'm not quite sure what it was, there was a very serious incident just across the Donegal border. And I think as chairman of this party, it would be remiss of me if I did not make reference to that situation. We are aware that some have lost their lives. We don't know how many. But we do know that quite a number of people have been seriously injured and have been taken to hospital. And I just want to say my prayers and the prayers of this conference today are with all those who have suffered and are suffering. And we do very much regret what has happened. And we wish them Godspeed in the hours and the days that lie ahead. And I'm going to ask Tom Buchanan, MLA, who will do our opening devotions. And I'm going to ask Tom to remember these families and that community in his opening prayer. Tom, please.
You know, just turn to God's Word this morning. Very well-known portion of the Word of God, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains swell with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's just commit our day this morning to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just bow again in thy presence this morning in our Saviour's name. We come again to give thee thanks for thy mercy and thy grace toward us. We thank thee for another new day. We thank the Lord for health and strength that finds each one of us gathered here this morning. And O God, we come and give thee thanks most of all for the great work of redemption that was wrought on the cross by thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he opened up a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee today in the sure knowledge that we have a God in heaven who hears and answers the cry of his people. And our Father, as we draw near this morning, our hearts are heavy. Heavy for those, Lord, that were involved in the incident across the border last evening. And O God, we pray that thou wouldst draw near. Remember those that have been injured. Remember those, Lord, the families of loved ones that have lost their lives. And remember all the services that are involved, the fire services and the nurses and the doctors and all that is involved within the operation there. And Father, we pray that you'll draw near to the families that are bereaved. And O God, that you'll put your loving arms around them. And even at this time, that they will know the very presence of the Savior to be with them. We thank thee that thou art the great comforter. And O God, we just draw near to thee today in the sure knowledge that thou wilt draw near unto them. We do think again this morning as well of our royal family. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst draw near unto them as well. We think on the life of Queen Elizabeth II. And Father, we thank thee for the leadership that was shown over those 70 years, even on the throne. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless the royal family today, even as they mourn the loss of a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And Lord, we pray that you'll draw near to them. And even, O God, as they mourn the loss of a loved one, they'll know the comforting hand of God to be upon them. And Father, that they'll turn their eyes upon thee. And O God, we ask of thee that each one will turn to thee for salvation. Father, we pray for King Charles III, that thou wouldst give him wisdom, even as he takes up the mantle to move forward, even in the royal household. We thank too on colleagues that we have lost over the past months. Lord, we pray that you'll draw near to those families. We realize today, Lord, that there's homes and there's broken hearts. There's an empty chair and there's a silent voice. And, O God, we pray you'll draw near to each one. And, Lord, that even in their time of need, they'll know the comforting hand of God to be upon them. Father, we pray that thou wouldst remember us today in conference. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst just draw near each one that is taking part. We pray that thou wouldst give them wisdom today. And Father, we pray for our party leader. We ask that thou wouldst bless him even as he would seek to take the party forward. Give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding at this time. And we pray, O God, that as a party, thou wouldst be pleased to come again and to bless abundantly. And Father, that we'll see great and mighty things done for thee. So, Father, we pray that thou wouldst continue with us today and throughout this day, that each one will know the very presence and blessing of God with them. And, Father, that this will be a day, Lord, when thy name will be uplifted, exalted, honoured and glorified, and everything that's done and said might go down to the honour and glory of God. For we pray these things in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen.
The sun's very bright this morning, and it's just hard to see out. But anyway, good morning to everyone, and welcome to our annual conference here in the Crown Plaza. It is wonderful to see you all again after the hardships of the last few years. It is hard to believe that this is our first conference since 2019. And any of you that I have got speaking to already, you don't look a day older, so you can take comfort from that. I'd like to say at the outset how sorry I am to learn of the passing of a number of our colleagues since we last were at conference from right across the province. And during this time and today, and I today, we remember their contributions, and our thoughts and prayers are with their families at this particular time. Last September, the Democratic Unionist Party marked its 50th anniversary, a major milestone in the history of our party. These celebrations allowed us to reflect on past achievements and remember fondly those who served our cause with distinction down through the years. So today we look forward. The conference gives us an opportunity to meet and enjoy fellowship with friends and colleagues, to welcome new members, and to go away re-energized ahead of the local government elections in May next year, as well as the political battles that lie ahead, and who knows, maybe assembly election before that too, just for good measure. I am delighted to see many new faces that have joined our party. As chairman, I regularly have the joy of interviewing candidates seeking election, elected office, and on each occasion, it is clear that we have members coming forward who are keen to serve. New blood is essential if we are to grow and thrive, and old boys like me will soon be moving off the scene, and it's important that we have as good and better to take our place. I want to extend a special welcome to those who are joining for the very first time today. Your education will be complete after you have attended a party conference, I can assure you, and I trust you will enjoy your first experience of the DUP conference, and hopefully it'll not be too much for you, and you'll feel that you could maybe come back on another occasion. Over the course of the day, we will hear from DUP elected representatives at each level of government. This will include a vibrant mix of youth and experience. That's another word for age. And we also look forward to hearing from our external panelists, who are most welcome as they join with us. You will see from the programme that we have several policy sessions lined up for later in the day, and I would encourage you to go along and listen to the panels. There is an opportunity to input, and I know my colleagues in the policy unit would appreciate hearing your views and opinions. That's good for the policy people to listen to that. It's only then that they can reflect what you're saying in future policy. We will also hear from local councillors this morning, and as we look forward to the elections next year, I would ask that you listen carefully. And those of you who are thinking of putting your name forward, this is your chance to hear directly what is involved from those who already serve. I'd like to express my appreciation to all those who are engaged in the battle against the protocol at this time. It is, to put it mildly, a heinous imposition on the people of Northern Ireland, and we will be standing strong for our cause. We will not neglect the promises that we have made. We will not neglect the stance that we have taken. The ball is firmly in the court of the government to do the right thing, and they know exactly what the right thing is. So let me make it clear, unless the protocol is replaced, and I hope everyone's listening, because it seems to me that the press get confused at times, but let me make it very clear, the protocol needs to be replaced, and there will be no prospect, and that's a big NO, of this party taking up its places in a stormont executive where some are more equal than others. We will judge the government on actions, not what they say. We have learned that. Do not pay too much attention to what government's saying. Just pay all attention to what they're doing. And we will be following any timelines, not be following any timeline set by those who do not have Northern Ireland's interests at heart. We will open this morning with a video presentation to mark the passing of our Queen, Elizabeth II, followed by a minute's silence for both Her Majesty and those friends and colleagues who are no longer with us. This will be followed by our opening session, a panel discussion in the main hall on the issue of childcare and early years. This is one of the most important issues facing us at present, and I look forward to hearing our contributions today. Following this session, Michelle McElveen, MLA, our Education Minister, will speak. I'd also encourage you to support our conference charity this year, the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. What better charity could we support? Please remember that at conference today. You will also know of the fantastic work of the hospice does, and I'm expecting everyone to give as generously as you possibly can. I'm also asked to remind you that our membership stand is up and running, and if you take the opportunity to update your membership details or indeed sign up as a new member today, you'll be entered into a prize draw. I think, I haven't been told this, but I understand the prize is something like a world cruise for two, but you need to check that out. Just to make sure that I didn't get my lines crossed, but there's some wonderful, but no, it's actually a Greens hamper, I'm now reminded. So, but that wouldn't be bad in these hard times. So, finally, let me put on record our thanks to the hotel management and staff for their help both last night and today. It is very much appreciated. And let me put my personal thanks and appreciation to the DUP staff, who have done a lot of organising and making this happen. Some people think, you know, this is organised on a Friday morning and everything's fine. No, this has been in the organising for quite a long time. And to Timothy Johnson's team, we say a big thank you. And those who got us to where we are today. That's me finished. All I say to you is good morning, have a good day. And look after yourself, for good people are scarce. Thank you.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong.
This is BBC News from London. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
The first time I met Her Majesty the Queen was way back in 1977 when she came to Northern Ireland on a visit to celebrate her Silver Jubilee. I was invited as one of two representatives from our school to go to Coleraine, where there was a major event, and little did I know that the other representative from the school that day happened to be the young lady who subsequently became my wife, and it was only many years later that we discovered we'd both been on that same visit to Coleraine.
Well, the most memorable meeting that I had with the Queen was when I had an audience with her when I was First Minister, because of course those audiences are one-to-one, so you're in the room on your own with Her Majesty the Queen. Of course I was very nervous about it beforehand, but she does absolutely put you at your ease, and we had a wonderful conversation on that occasion.
First time I met the Queen was when she came to Belfast when I was Lord Mayor in 1988, and she visited the Northern Ireland Hospice in North Belfast, and with the honour to greet her then, and it had just happened after the attempted murder of two police officers in the city centre, and she inquired after them, and I remember being struck by her concern, compassion for those officers, and asking us to pass on her best wishes. So from the very first time, the first meeting I ever had with her, I always was struck with her care and compassion for people in Northern Ireland.
The first time I met her entirely was in a lineup in East Belfast when I was Member of Parliament. Then I had my first lunch with the Queen, the first occasion when as First Minister. You would go along for a one-hour audience with the Queen. But on every occasion, she was thoroughly briefed, knew her subject well, and I think was the most exceptional person.
I suspect many of us will never forget where we were or what we were doing when the news filtered through that Her Majesty was seriously ill, that her health had deteriorated overnight, and then of course the very sad news that I guess we'd all been waiting for but had hoped wouldn't come, that Her Majesty had passed away. And you could really sense in London, I was in London shortly after the announcement, a sense of sadness, and yet also people talking warmly about Her Majesty, about her reign and the leadership that she gave to our nation.
I remember being in London that evening, the rain had started. I joined many others just wandering up to Buckingham Palace. People felt a bit bereft. What should they do? People mingled about Buckingham Palace. There was a great sense of solemnity and deep grief and shock. But the fact that the Queen had laid such fantastic foundations during her reign, and the way that the new King responded and greeted the crowds and expressed such empathy with people, I think augurs well going forward, and I think that helped people to show there was going to be continuity.
There was that real feeling of loss. And then at the same time, you had the joy of a new monarch, and it's the mixture of those two competing events that I think made it a very strange occasion. And if it was strange in some ways for me, I can't think how much more difficult it must have been for people in the royal family, and particularly for King Charles.
I was obviously very concerned when I heard that, because I knew a statement would not be put out unless she was seriously unwell. And then I was in the studio when the news came through that evening at 6:30 that she had passed away. And I'll never forget the scene. People were crying. There was a silence as well. And you will recall at that time, all broadcasters had a moment of silence and then they played the national anthem. So it was very impactful and very moving, and it was a dreadfully, dreadfully sad time.
Well, being at the Accession Council is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's an immense honour to be part of that group of people who are there to basically acclaim the new king, hear him take his pledges and oaths, to be defender of the faith, to uphold the Protestant religion, to be a true and faithful king of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, to sign for the first time as Charles R, Charles Rex, to hear the crowd proclaim "Long live the King" in his presence, to sing the new national anthem in his presence, I think probably for the first time, was also incredibly moving. You had to pinch yourself almost that this was real.
Well, I was hugely honoured to be at the Accession Council. There were five of us from Northern Ireland, the Lord Chief Justice, Peter Robinson, Nigel Dodds, myself, and Geoffrey Donaldson. And it was, of course, living history, because none of us had ever witnessed an Accession Council before. It had never been televised before. I think it was right, actually, to televise it, to allow people to see the proclamation of our new king, and to show the seamlessness of our monarchy and the way in which it happens. It was a hugely moving moment to be there, and one I will cherish forever.
You know, the word historic gets bandied around. That truly was an historic event, and we were all highly privileged to have been there. I found the most difficult part of it all was after it was over and we went outside for the proclamation, after the Accession Council had finished, and for the first time in my lifetime, I find myself singing "God Save the King," and that really brought it home to me that a new era had begun.
On many occasions over the years since I became a member of the Privy Council, we have had notification of what to expect when a meeting of the Accession Council would take place. But in truth, I suppose at the back of my mind, I'd never really expected that that moment would come. And yet I found myself standing in St James's Palace with my colleagues and former leaders Arlene and Peter, along with Nigel, as members of the Privy Council representing Northern Ireland. And not only was it a great honour to be there, but also a real sense of the moment of the history of this wonderful lady who had been our monarch and served our nation so well for so many years throughout and across Northern Ireland, in homes in every county. People will have felt deeply emotional about the passing of Her Majesty the Queen. And yet I think we can look to the future with confidence that she has left a monarchy that is strong and has support right across our nation. And that is something I think we will benefit from for many years to come.
Conference, I'm going to ask the conference to stand and observe a minute's silence, after which we will sing the new national anthem. Let us be silent, please.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.